some ways continues to have a difficult time, as we all do. And we're thankful to God that we have Jesus Christ as our friend who can help us through all the things of life. This morning I recognize that most of the time when we talk about the Bible, we talk about men of the Bible. We talk about David, we talk about the Apostle Paul. And yet there are faithful women in the Bible that need to be looked at and remembered and appreciated for what they've done, because they also set an example for us as we have our issues of life, and they have a great deal to do with our society. Someone said a long time ago, the hand that rocks the cradle controls the world or the nation, and I believe that's true. I really believe that I can pinpoint a time when America began to change, when the women went into the workforce. During World War II, Tilly the Toiler, Rosie the Riveter, or different names were given to her. But women had to leave the home and go into the workplace and help the war effort. And they did so. But that meant that children were left alone a lot, or children had to raise themselves or use some kind of daycare. And the fact is that you can pinpoint in American history the fact that America began to change when the women left home and went into the workforce. Not all that's bad, of course, because they do supply an effort for the family. But at the same time, we do not, I think, understand the power of a godly woman. The last of Proverbs speaks of the righteous woman, the godly woman, and what a great influence she has in people's lives. And I often, though not always, I use that sometimes at the funeral service for women because it fits them. There are others that it does not. But as you look at that, we have to recognize a source of influence for good from godly women, women who love the Lord and let their faith be shown. With that in mind, I want to talk with you about Esther, just to go as with regard to one of the women that has come down to history as a godly woman who stood the test of courage. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. The idea of a courageous faith. We want to look at a definition of courage. It's an honorable trait. It's been defined as the attitude of facing and dealing with anything recognized as dangerous, difficult, or painful. You don't want it. It's facing you, and you have to do something about it. Courage can be described as the strength to take risks, face danger, endure difficulty, or withstand fear. A lot of time that just describes a mother and a wife, because there are things that come up in a person's life that require courage. And courage is not always something that is a part of someone's attitude. Courage is something that has to be summoned, something that has to be encouraged. And not everybody has courage. We use the word coward because it applies both to men and women who cannot face the dangers of life. But as you begin to read back in the book of Esther in the Old Testament, you find a woman that, because of circumstances beyond her control, had to face a situation which was dangerous not only to herself, but to her entire people. This is during the time when the Babylonians and the Assyrians had taken Israel and Judah off into captivity. She was in the kingdom of Persia, and the king was a man given to wild parties. So he had a wild party and asked for his wife, Vashti, to come out and display herself. She was a modest woman and refused to do that, which was an unheard of thing. You don't say no to the king. And so she was put away. She was put away from being the queen, and the king decided to look throughout the country for a new bride, and Esther was the one that was chosen. And now remember that she lived under the Old Testament, but she's going to be faced with a great problem, as you come to understand. I've used some pictures here that displays a kind of courage. When you're in the hospital and you have to face the issues of life, most of us have been there, and we understand that sometimes you feel still sort of out of control. Other people are in control, but it takes courage to face that. Then, of course, the troops and the policemen and the firemen, they all have to have courage. They lay their life on the line every day. I've been very dismayed at America lately and what some have done with regard to respect for the military, respect for the police, and respect for those in authority. And it takes courage to get up in the morning and to go out in your job and say, I may not come home tonight. But that's what they face, and courage is what gets them through it. And then there are other things. And Terry told me a little bit about what my mistakes were a little bit later, so I have to watch and do that. But it's not always something that adults have to face. You have to face sometimes learning to do something you've never done before, like riding a bicycle or doing something with regard to a spelling bee or going to the dentist. And sometimes you have to be facing a bully. And that's all minor, perhaps, with regard to the idea of courage. But I want to look deeper at the idea of Esther and how she put her life at risk because of her courage. She put her life at risk to save both herself and her people because they were in captivity. And during captivity, some of the Jews had made themselves famous or notable, such as Mordecai, her cousin. I oftentimes refer to her as an uncle. But nevertheless, he was a man of esteem in the nation. But he had people that hated the Jews and was trying to plot in order to destroy the Jewish nation while they were in captivity. Now, I understand that this is the work of the devil. I understand that this was something that the devil was trying to destroy the Jewish nation so that Jesus could not be born. And I understand the implications of all that. I don't know that Esther did, because they didn't have a clear understanding of the necessity of Christ to be born for the salvation of the world, and yet she understood that her life was on the line. So in this lesson, you look at her unique challenge. It doesn't apply to us today. You're not going to be in the same situation that Esther was in. But the same kind of courage is going to be your test as you face the issues of your life. It may have to do with, I know of some husbands that has forbidden their wife to attend worship services, and they have to get past that. I understand there are a lot of issues of life that have to do with you living a Christian life and the opposition to living a Christian life in your family and in your surroundings, and that takes courage. Well, the same kind of courage that Esther displayed is the kind of courage we have to have. And we don't want to diminish that. It is an act of courage sometimes to face life. It's an act of courage to live as a Christian sometimes in different parts of the world. After what happened in Paris yesterday and day before, the night before, you understand that there are some true things happening that may impact our lives more than we wish. We have to understand that the Islamic invasion of America has started. We're having about 250,000 people who are Muslims being allowed to come into this country. How many are the terrorists that are embedded in that? We don't know, and there's no way to tell. So what happened in Paris may certainly happen with us. But regardless, we have to face life as a Christian. And if we die as a child of God, then so be it, but we have to understand that this may be something coming to us. With regard to the background, I told you about the fact of the Babylonian captivity. Esther was raised by her cousin, who was Mordecai. Esther found favor in the sight of Persia and was made king, a queen. As Vashti was displaced, Esther was chosen because she was a very beautiful woman, and he wanted that. Mordecai angered Haman. Haman deliberately had some laws passed that Mordecai could not conscientiously obey. And therefore, Haman used that to anger the king against the Jewish nation, and an edict was ordered that all the Jews were to be destroyed. Now, what the king didn't know was that Esther was a Jew. And so, Here's the dramatic part of that. And Haman wanted to kill all of the Jews. Well, Esther then had a challenge because Mordecai asked Esther to go to the king and intercede on behalf. This is in chapter 4. We're not going to be reading a lot of Esther because you have it before you. You're able to read that and understand. But what happened with Vashti is the reverse order of what has now challenged Esther. Vashti was summoned to the presence of the king and she refused to do that. She was not going to display herself at a drunken party, which was a benefit to her. But now, if someone came into the presence of the king unannounced, if he didn't extend the scepter and receive that person, they would be put to death. And Esther knew that. She already had the understanding that Vashti was discharged because the king was displeased, and she understood what could happen to her. And so she felt like she could not fulfill the request. She felt like it was going to be certain death. Here's the challenge. Now, in your life, it may not be so dramatic. It may not be as, and it probably will not be as dramatic as that. But sometimes your faith is going to be tested. You can know that. You can know that. There'll be circumstances of life, whether in your job or in your business friends or your family, where you're called upon to do something that you do not feel you ought to do. Now, the same kind of courage that's got to come out of you is the kind of courage that came out of Esther. Same kind, maybe not as dramatic, but it's the same sort of thing. And Mordecai simply did not accept Esther's excuse. He had a firm faith. Now, Esther was faithful, but at this point, she was afraid. She was afraid. I think I told you some time ago about a preacher who was really afraid to preach. He was so afraid that he wouldn't have his outlines with him to jog his memory. On Saturday, he would go into the church building and tape a copy to the pulpit so he wouldn't forget. That was courage. He was afraid to preach, but he faced it anyway. That's the same sort of thing I'm talking about. So Mordecai didn't accept that. And here's what he said in chapter 4, beginning of verse 13. Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this." That last sentence is something to behold. What it does is evoke the feeling of something bigger than yourself. We live in perilous times. We live in troublesome times. And who knows but what something is going to come up in your family or in the church where your faith and your support will mean the difference. It happens. During the 70s, the church went through a tremendous, 50s to the 70s, went through a tremendous upheaval. Many congregations had to have people in it who had the courage and the faith to stand for the truth when they were in the minority. And I witnessed a lot of that. I witnessed that, and I saw men and women of courage to stand up, and they made a tremendous sacrifice. That can happen any day. It can happen any time. Who knows whether or not you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Does that invite the understanding that something's bigger than you? That there's a cause? There's something that needs to be supported and defended? And that's what Mordecai was saying to Esther. You know, here you are, a queen, and you're isolated from the public in the king's palace. But don't you think you're safe just because you're in the palace, because you're a Jew. And don't think that you're safe in the world if you hide yourself from being a Christian. Because these tests are going to come. Amen. They're going to come. So the end result was Esther accepted that challenge. She was willing to put her life in danger to save the Jews. And she was wise And courage is not the absence of fear, and I hope you understand that. It's a willingness to have a fear and face it. I saw someone do something the other day on television that I wouldn't do. They were afraid of heights. And so they went up in an airplane and jumped out. I'm not going to do that. I have a fear of heights, but I'm not about to go up and jump out of a plane to prove that I can do it. Now, other things might come along that test my courage and that sort of thing. I've always been afraid of dogs. Somewhere in my background, I guess I had trouble about a dog. And on different occasions, I've been going up to someone's house to maybe try to have a Bible study or something, and a dog barks at me. Now, I'm afraid of dogs. And it takes courage for me to go up to somebody's house who's got a dog. I remember one time, and there was a family worshiping with us, and she had a sister. She asked me to go see her sister. So on Monday, I went out and got in my car and drove out to their house and got out and started for the door. And out here in a dust bed, a Weimaraner dog stood up on its toes. And it didn't bark, it was rumbling down in its chest. And he wanted to have part of my leg. I knew he did. And I can feel the hair go up on the back of my neck. Well, I was almost to the house, and so I went to the screened-in porch. Luckily, it was a screened-in porch. And I got inside. And they were gone. They were gone. Nobody was home. So I was safe on the screened-in porch, but how am I going to get back to my car? And that dog just walked around rumbling. And after a while, it walked around behind the house, and I jumped out and ran to the car and got in it just as it loped out after me. I was safe. But the next day, he got an insurance salesman. I heard about that. Now, that's part of my problem about being afraid of dogs. I went up to Maine a number of years ago, me and some other brethren, and Brother Ralph Smart was alive then. He was preaching in Maine, and he was doing a tremendous job by himself. So I took off from work and went up there to knock doors for 10 days. And another preacher and I were together, and we went out in the suburbs, and nobody would have Bible studies. So we went downtown to the tenements and went up to the third floor, and I knocked on a door over here, and over here was another door, and a huge bark occurred. And I thought, there's a dog in there. Well, the woman came to the door over there, and she opened the door. And the dog came out snapping, just snapping. And I walked back against the wall, and he was at my stomach, just snapping. And the other preacher made a movement, and I was grateful because the dog turned and snapped at him. And somewhere after an eternity, the woman came and took the dog and went back in. And we sort of slunk down the stairs. We didn't have a Bible study there. Now that's minor. I understand that's minor. But it took courage for me to face those dogs. And it still takes courage for me to face a dog that barks at me. And you have to face somebody's fears. And that's what Esther was willing to do. So, let me go back. Esther's faith gave her courage. Where does courage come from? You can't buy it at Walmart. Where in the world does courage come from? It's got to come somewhere deep inside you. And the stimulant for that is faith in God when it comes down to doing right or wrong. That faith in God. So the Bible says in 1 John 5 verse 4, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You look back at the history of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and various ones like Joshua. And yes, they were the ones who had that faith that would overcome the world. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27 and verse 1. Well, that tells you that faith makes a difference. And it does. The Lord is on my side. Psalms 118 verse 6. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And when you get to that point in your life, like Paul had to be and early Christians had to be, they could take your life. and many of them took the lives. But that's all they could do. They couldn't touch the soul. And so they found that courage to stand up and say, yes, I'm a Christian. I know I'm going into the arena. I know that I've got to fight wild animals, but I can do that because I have faith in God. I believe in Christ. Amen. And there's a courage that comes out of that. It produces something. So Joshua said, it was said to Joshua by the Lord, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, if you believe that, you can face your fears. That doesn't mean you're going to have to jump out of an airplane. There are some fears you just don't have to face. But when it comes down to your faith and how you stand with God, there are times, and I've seen it in my family. I've mentioned before, when my father, when I was just not quite a teenager, he told me I wasn't going to church anymore. And this was a time when I was afraid of my father. He wasn't abusive physically, he was psychologically, but I was afraid of him like I would have been a bear. And I wouldn't have ever disputed with my dad, but he told me I wasn't going to church anymore. And I had to make a decision. He said, meet me at the garden gate, put on your work clothes, we're going to work in the garden today. And I was already dressed, so the ladies that would always pick us up came and honked the horn, and I went to the back door, and there stood Daddy at the garden gate. And I won't tell you, I was terrified. And I said, Daddy, I'm going to church. You have anything you want to say to me? He stared a hole in me. And I was afraid, but I knew I had to stand up to that. He never tried it again. He never tried it again because I somehow found the courage to know that he wasn't going to do that to me. And you'll find your courage from your faith whenever that time comes, if it hasn't already.
Amen.
So then Paul in Romans 8:37 said, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Esther's mentor gave her courage. Sometimes we need a good example. Mordecai was that person. He had a great deal of influence with Esther, and no one else perhaps could have convinced her to do what she did. But when Mordecai expressed his faith, Esther found her faith. Now, I saw my mother's faith, when she was put to the test. And I had faith partly because of her influence on my life. And you can look around and somebody has been a good example to you. And they've shown you the right kind of way. Now, some will try to show you the bad way. But we need that good example and to live by that. Esther's mentor, her encourager, is described in the Bible, Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And the idea of that contact hones you to a good degree. So Esther looked beyond herself. She recognized something. If she lost her life, it was worth what cost to defend her people. So Queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, she identifies herself as one of them, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. And of course you understand Haman was finally hung on his own gallows. He was so confident of what his success was going to be, he was so envious and angry at Mordecai, he went out and had a gallows built to hang Mordecai. And he was hung on his own gallows. You talk about poetic justice, that's certainly true. So Esther took courage. In spite of her fears, and went into the king, and the king extended the scepter and allowed her to speak. She invited the king to a dinner and invited Haman. And in the process of her wisdom, she got the king to favor her. And Haman was so foolish, he attacked her. And the king said, "To the gallows with you." And so Haman was destroyed. And Queen Esther delivered them from destruction. Our courage is not like Esther's in the sense of so dramatic and so regal, but it's still there. There will come a time in our lives when we have to face our fears and muster courage to overcome challenges. That's the very existence of our life. You can't escape it. You can cave in, but you can't escape it, and you have to face these choices. Developing a strong faith now will prepare us for the times when we, like Joshua, need to be strong and courageous. And it may be so wonderful that I don't have a real challenge facing me today. But when the time comes, will you be ready to face it in the calmness of your soul, knowing that you're going to stand for the right, even if it took your life? Now, that's the story of the early Christians. When the Jews and the Romans put the Christians to death, they had that kind of courage. I hope that it doesn't happen in America. I hope it, you know, things are changing in America. I don't know where we're going. You know, I really don't know what the future of America is. I always thought America was so strong that it would always be this way. And it hasn't been. It's changed in my lifetime. I don't know what's going to be in front of Christians. But I do know the kind of courage that we can have, just like Esther and like Joshua and like Paul. And I pray that we're never put in that kind of situation. But if we are, Jesus said to count it joy when you fall into manifold temptations. And so you prove your faith by how you meet these challenges. And who knows but what your courage can be an influence for someone else. Do you know someone who's not a Christian? Do you know someone who needs the gospel? When you live a faithful life, Peter even talked about the fact that sometimes wives could win their husbands when their husbands wouldn't listen to the word, but by the quality of their life, a wife could be a good influence in the life of a husband. And that could be your challenge as a woman or as a man, that you can lead your mate or your children to God. Courage is what sets us apart as children of God. May God grant us to have the kind of courage that will make a difference in people's lives around us and our own. If you need to respond to the gospel of Christ, I know that takes courage. When I was a young child, I had the courage to walk out from the pew and walk down to the front, confess faith in Jesus. It took courage to do that as a young boy, but I'm glad I did. And it may be that that courage is what you need this morning. We pray that you'll find it as we stand together and sing the invitation song.